Hare Krishna. I'll just say a few words to introduce Indrajumna Maharaj, although he does not need introduction to many. He's a world famous teacher in the Krishna consciousness movement. Still, some of you may not know, Indrajumna Maharaj was born in California in the early 1970s, late 1960s. He met his spiritual teacher, Srila Prabhupada, the founder of the Hare Krishna movement. And he joined the International Society for Krishna Consciousness in Detroit, Michigan. And then shortly thereafter, recognizing his missionary spirit, his spiritual teacher, Srila Prabhupada, sent him to Europe to open up preaching centers and to spread the teachings in the continent of Europe. And so Maharaj spearheaded the Krishna consciousness movement in France, Italy, Spain, Switzerland, and other European countries through the 1970s and 1980s. Then in the 1990s, with the fall of the Iron Curtain in communist Russia and Eastern Europe, Indrajumna Maharaj started to focus most of his attention in those countries of the former Soviet Union. Prior to that, he had been going into Russia, communist Russia, secretly, because it was not possible to practice Krishna consciousness or teach Krishna consciousness openly in those countries. And so he would go in disguise into those countries. But then with the fall of the Iron Curtain, there was so much interest, then he started to spend the bulk of his time in those countries, particularly in Poland, where for 3 months each year, over the past 18 years, he's led a group of 300 devotees in organizing festivals along the Baltic coast. And these events are attended by tens of thousands of people, if not hundreds of thousands of people, each summer over the past 18 years. And these past 2 years, the Indian Ministry of Cultural Affairs and the local Indian Embassy in Warsaw has been cooperating with Maharaj in organizing these events. The Ministry of Cultural Affairs sends performers to join the festival at different points. They send performers from India, dancers, musicians, actors, and so forth, to participate at those events. Last year, the Indian ambassador was present, and he spoke at some of the events, was present at the questions and answers tent, and they have given their endorsement on the invitation in cooperation with the Embassy of India in Warsaw, Poland. So Maharaj is a very dynamic preacher. He's famous for taking Krishna consciousness for the first time to the Amazon jungle and to the countries in South Africa amongst the Zulu tribes, and as well as Australia, New Zealand, New Caledonia, Indonesia, and other places as well. So it is a great privilege and an honor to hear Maharaj speak this evening. Please welcome Indrajumna Maharaj.
I think that introduction will be longer than my talk. And it was very much exaggerated, but I thank Prahlad nonetheless. It's really an honor for me to be here this evening. When I was planning my tour of the United States of America, it's an annual tour, I always keep Dallas in mind for many reasons. I always remember it as the hometown of His Divine Grace Tamal Krishna Goswami, who was a good friend of mine. And I'm always attracted by the fact that this is one of the older schools in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So somehow I have a soft spot in my heart for the children of our movement, because I feel, as any culture would, that the children of our International Society for Krishna Consciousness are the future. They're the next generation. And the first generation, and I'm part of that first generation, we're becoming senior citizens now. I don't like to use that term. I never thought I'd be a senior citizen. We're senior citizens, and our time in this world is actually limited, and we would like to see that all the hard work that our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, did in transplanting this ancient Vedic culture of India in the West, and subsequently our humble attempts to carry on his work after his departure, we would like to make sure that it's not all in vain. It's a very important spiritual movement. You could say it's actually rejuvenating the highest spiritual culture throughout the entire world. And therefore, those who will carry on that education of the world, that is our children. It's our children. So this is one of the best schools that we have in our International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So I planned it in my tour that I would come here and encourage them. And what happened is they encouraged me, because I can see what nice devotees they're becoming. They're getting a real education. Education, of course, is stressed in every culture, but in our Krishna conscious movement, in our Vedic society, in the history of India, education is seen in two ways, as education and enlightenment. This is the full understanding of education. In India, a boy or a girl for that matter, they would begin their education at 5 years of age. As soon as the intelligence became a little awoken, immediately there would be training. The young boys would go to live in the ashram of the spiritual master, and the young girls in the privacy of their home, the mothers and the aunties and the grandmas, they would begin to train them in two things. How to live in this world, which is essential. Number two, how to get out of this world. That's also important. We need an education so that we can get a career. Because without a career, you can't live in society. You can't have a family, you can't have children, you can't be part of society, you become a parasite, so to speak. We need good education. And the spiritual master would look at the different children and see what their vocation would be. He would get an indication, here's a brahmana, here's a priest, here's a kshatriya, here's an administrator, here's a vaishya, someone who could work the land, take care of the cows, here's a sudra, someone who could do the manual labor. It's all part of the greater scheme of society. It's all important. So spiritual master would recognize in the student what his particular vocation would be. And during all the years of education from 5 to 25, he would educate him like that. And when the boy would graduate or the girl would grow up, they would enter into society able to produce something, being active member of society. But in the Vedic scheme of education, there's a whole other sphere, the spiritual sphere. According to the Bhagavad Gita, which is the guidebook, the guideline for Vedic culture, we have this material body, but we are not the body. The first lesson in the science of self-realization is that we are the force within the body, we are the spark of life, we are the Atman, we are the soul. And whereas this body is here today, and unfortunately, it may be gone tomorrow, that soul is eternal and never dies. Najayate mriyate vakara chinayam bhutva bhavita vanubhaya. Krishna says, for the soul, there's never birth, nor death, nor having once been, does he ever cease to be. He's unborn, undying, primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain. So education in Vedic culture meant also to understand the self within, the real person. 99.9% of our modern day population, when you ask them, who are you? They'll just, here I am. I'm this body. But that couldn't be further from the truth. In the Vedic scheme, the body is described as yantra, a very, very sophisticated machine made of material energy. And a machine may be a very sophisticated thing, but without someone to operate it, it's useless. Like a computer, like a car, like our sound system, like our lights. It's all very nice, but unless we have the boys operating it, it's really useless, because a machine doesn't have life. It's just made of matter. And matter's not conscious, it's not living. So what is this body in essence? It's made of matter. It doesn't have life. It doesn't have consciousness. What gives this body the semblance of life is that spark within, that soul. And that's who we are. And real education in human society, the ultimate education, the best education we can give our children, is to help them understand who they are and where they're going. Our material education helps us up to the point of death, and then is finished. But what happens after death? Does anyone question? Does anyone think about that? We're so concerned about giving our children a good education, how to live in this world. Fine. But that's very short. It's just like a brief moment in eternal time that we're in this world, and then where do we go? We have to know where we're going. We're always concerned about where we're going, and there's a spring vacation coming up, hopefully very soon. And you're all planning where you're going. You can imagine if you the family starts packing the car, and that the man's in the driving seat, and he's got the whole car packed, and packed the kids in, and the wife comes in, she sits in the passenger seat, and she turns to her husband, she says, "Honey, where are we going for our vacation?" And the man says, "I haven't got a clue." We always want to know where we're going. If I ask any person in this hall this evening, "Where are you going after the program?" you've got to have an answer. We're always concerned about the future. The best years of our life are spent in education because we want a good career. We're concerned about the future. When you've got your career, you're putting money aside for old age. We're concerned about the future. But somehow, because of a lack of spiritual education in society, we don't think beyond 75, 80, or 100 years. But it's a really important question. Because in this country, there's two things you have to do. You have to pay your taxes, and you got to die. Now, you may get away with not paying your taxes. And I won't ask any hands here who's successful with that. But everyone's going to have to die. It's a sober subject matter, but education's a sober thing. Where are we going to go? Krishna says in Gita, "Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tiyajatanti kalevaram." Whatever mentality you have at the moment of death, that will determine your next birth. And according to the teachings of the Gita, you've got 8,400,000 choices. There's 8,400,000 species of life in this world. And since time immemorial, that Atma, that soul, which is originally in the spiritual sky with God, having left the spiritual world, has come to the material world, chasing the ephemeral nature of material pleasure, he goes from one body to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. This is called reincarnation, the wheel of samsara. That's no fine thing. We have to get out of that chain of reincarnation, become spiritually enlightened, and go back to the spiritual world, a real home. So that's also an important part of education. Not just to educate how we live in this world. That's important, but perhaps even more important is how to get out of this world, how to awaken the divinity within us, how to awaken the soul, how to become spiritually enlightened, how to become God conscious. So the beauty of this TKG Academy is that these students are getting this wholesome education. They're getting the complete education. They're getting a whole education. We're training them in their vocation. We're starting with A, B, C, D, E, F, G. 2 + 2 = 4. And all that stuff I forget. We're training them. We're leading them towards a vocation. At the same time, we're instilling in them the importance of the science of self-realization, which means to know that I'm not the body. I'm the spark of life. I'm the soul. Exactly who I am. Exactly who is the supreme soul God. It doesn't matter what you call him. He has many names. There's one God, but he has many names. You have three names. You have your first name, your middle name, and your last name. Why should God only have one name? He's only Jesus. He's only Allah. Allah Akbar, Alhamdulillah. He's only Buddha. He's only Yahweh. He's only Krishna. No, that's limiting God. God is unlimited. He's a person, but he has many, many names. And human life means to find out who he is, what's his name, what's his personality like, where does he live, who are his friends, what is the beauty of his spiritual world. That's a real education that can take you beyond, you know, getting a good career with lots of money and a fine house, fine, but it can take you beyond to the back home, back to the spiritual world. So the purpose of our academy is to give education and enlightenment and thereby make the whole business complete. And that's why you see these children are of a special nature. We had the older boys come on and play the drums. They're kind of like our alumni. If you could sit down and spend time with these boys, you would see they're of perfect character. Their personalities are very complete. They have a lot of knowledge. They're like model citizens in our world. They're not out of balance. In modern society, we stress the material and we give a little importance to the spiritual, but actually they have to be equal. And that's the beauty of this Krishna conscious movement, the beauty of this ancient Vedic culture. It stresses both equally, but eventually one dies off the material and the spiritual continues on forever. So our hope is that these children will not only graduate from the TKG Academy with a good education, enabling them to go on to college and university. Our ultimate hope, the parents, the teachers, the leaders of this movement, our ultimate hope is that these children will also get a spiritual education to the point where they become spiritually enlightened. And they will graduate not just from grade school, not just from high school, not just from the university, but the perfection of life is to graduate from the material world and go back home to our real home in the spiritual sky. So this is a great endeavor. It's a noble effort, and we see that we're being a little bit successful with these kids, and we couldn't do it alone. We thank you all for helping us give them a real complete education. I believe this function is to raise funds for that purpose. Some of you have already given. Some of you will be giving tonight. Some of you will give in the future. This is the very best cause that you can give for, and we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Hare Krishna.
So earlier, Maharaj said that I exaggerated in his introduction. Well, I didn't actually tell you all of it. In addition to everything that I said earlier, Maharaj is also a prolific author. And regularly, he publishes a diary that is published on different websites on the internet and also sent out on different mailing lists to different congregations, Krishna congregations around the world. And then once a year, those diary chapters get published as a book. So this is The Diary of a Traveling Preacher, Volume 9, been recently published by Torchlight Publishing. And in these diaries, Maharaj shares his experiences as a traveling preacher in exotic lands across the earth. This particular diary chapter covers his travels in Indonesia, where he visits an ancient Vishnu temple, some thousand odd years old. Interesting, a Vishnu temple, a Hindu temple in far off Indonesia, thousands of years old. Previously, Vaishnav culture was spread throughout much of the world, at least throughout Asia. And so Indonesia, Cambodia, Thailand, and so forth, these were all places where this spiritual culture flourished. Maharaj also shares his experiences in Siberia and Australia, New Zealand. So these diaries are full of spiritual adventure. They're full of spiritual realization. They uplift as you read them. And the stories are also very touching. Maharaj writes from the heart and speaks to the heart. And so it's not uncommon as you read a chapter of the Diary of a Traveling Preacher that some tears will start trickling from your eyes. Also recently published by popular demand is its republishing of the diary volumes 1 and 2. This particular edition, the front cover shows Maharaj walking out from Timur's tomb. This is in Samarkand, an ancient city of the Persian Empire. This was during a tour that Maharaj did there in the mid-1990s to Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan, Azerbaijan, Kyrgyzstan and other such stans that I cannot remember, former countries of the Persian Empire. And so, again, full of lots of spiritual adventure and very uplifting spiritual experience. Now, for these diaries, Maharaj would be very happy to sign these volumes for you, those of you who would like to take copies home. This edition is $25 as a minimum donation, and volume 9 is $20 because it's a little thinner than the two volume edition. And the donations towards these books, they go towards the organization of the festivals that I was telling you about earlier. The 3-month-long annual Festival of India tour in Poland along the Baltic coast, that the festivals are held 6 evenings a week and are attended by thousands and thousands of people. They're phenomenal. And if you actually want to get a look at what those festivals look like, we also have some DVDs. This is it's called Spiritual Culture. It's a very moving picture of the festivals in Poland. You can see martial artists and drummers. We had some drummers earlier today. On the festivals in Poland, then Manipuri drummers, dancers, theaters with puppets, larger than life puppets, and lots of singing and dancing and happy people, as well as interactive performances, yoga demonstrations, cooking demonstrations, and so on and so forth. So it's a real spiritual experience that people get, and it's a massive endeavor, accommodating, feeding, transporting 300 devotees over 3 months. Costs a lot of money. And so Maharaj depends upon supporters around the world that help to make this possible. And so taking these volumes home with you this evening, you can get them signed. You'll get uplifted spiritually yourself, and you'll also be contributing to a fantastic cause, the dissemination, the sharing of Krishna consciousness in these far-off lands. So as I said, Maharaj will be happy to sign these editions for you. He'll be sitting at a table over here. You can see some of the volumes piled up there. Maharaj will be there through the evening and available to speak to you and sign these books. Thank you very much.
Sri Prahlad Prabhu actually went through our Gurukul system, so you can see what a wonderful, wonderful devotee he is. So we hope these children can just grow up to be like him. I remember when many years ago when I was sitting with His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj Srila Gurudev, and I told him that His Holiness Indradumna Maharaj was going to be coming, and I had never met Indradumna Maharaj, and Srila Gurudev kind of looked at me and he smiled and he said, "You're in for a real treat." He said he's a very, very special devotee, and take good care of him. So Maharaj, we hope we've taken pretty good care of you, and we hope that every time you come to the United States, that you please put Dallas, check Dallas on your list, and bring Sri Prahlad with you. So, all right. Unfortunately, Maharaj would be leaving tomorrow, so tomorrow morning. So I would encourage everyone, please, please take advantage of getting his books. As Sri Prahlad Prabhu said, they're double potent. They're like maha. First of all, you get to read about the adventures, and Maharaj has more adventures in 1 month than most of us have in our lifetime. So you can read about his spiritual preaching adventures, and then also the money goes to put on the festivals, so it's like double potent. So everyone, please, please grab these books while you can.